Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Back to the Paracast. We welcome once again Rich Hoffman from SCU. Our special guest co-host is Kurt Collins. And they're all assembled. And what's interesting, of course, is to mention this. Anytime we have someone with really solid scientific credentials, almost every time, and we try to get them set up with Skype, there was always an audio problem. So Rich had some issues hearing us, which may be nothing that he lost out on. This way he can talk and nobody will disagree with him.
That works.
Yes, it's the advantage of talking to yourself, except yes. When you disagree with yourself.
This is true. This is true. Good to be back.
We're glad to have you. Last time you were on, I think it was 2020, and we are now in a different dimension in terms of where we were and where we are now, and I don't want to get into that except to deal with whatever concerns UFOs and such. But for those who are new to the Paracast and haven't heard the previous time you were on the show, can you tell us how you got interested in this subject?
Yeah, it goes back to when I was age 13, 1964. I was late for a science class, and the teacher that had passed out an assignment where you had to do a 10-minute presentation on a topic that was on a list. Because I was late to class, everybody else had already picked something, and the only thing that was left was UFOs. I had no concept of what I put my name next to, but I went up to the teacher afterward, and I said, "What's a UFO?" And he said, "Unidentified flying object." "What's that?" He said, "Well, have you ever heard of flying saucers?" I said, "Well, yeah, I've seen science fiction movies and stuff like that." But he said, "Well, we need to check into it." So my really half-hearted attempt to do anything about it was I probably went and found like a book like My Trip to Venus or My Saturnian Lover or something like that and wrote about that. They talked about it, and I didn't just do a very good job with it. Consequently, what happened was when I bombed that presentation, my teacher started laying down some serious questions like, "What about jet pursuits? What about the Project Blue Book? What about this and that?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" I had no idea, and of course that's what led to the proverbial D on the report. It was like that evening or within the next day or so that suddenly that on the news, Walter Cronkite came on and was talking about the Socorro, New Mexico case. Lonnie Zamora in Socorro was a police officer who had pursuit of a speeding vehicle. He hears an explosion, goes and leaves it and goes over and then sees some sort of an object with like two diminutive types of beings. There were allegedly footprints and some other kind of like ground effects that were there. Anyway, that was a pretty impressive, like, you know, kind of a report for me, you know, at age 13. And then the next thing was that a couple days later, my aunt took me to a bookstore. And I legitimately went up and asked, "Do you have a book on UFOs?" And they pointed out the report on unidentified flying objects by former Project Blue Book lead, Captain Ruppelt. So I read that book, and I'm starting to see like what my teacher must have read, because he was, you know, it talks about all these things that he was talking about. Anyway, make a long story short, that I then, in reading the book, I found out that I'm living just down the street, practically in Dayton, Ohio, from Wright-Patterson, which was where Project Blue Book was. And I think that that's what really got me hooked. I thought, you know, my God, there's a project that's right up the road in this stuff. This must be real. I need to go look into it. I began collecting every kind of like newspaper clipping I could get my hand on. I would be watching, getting every book I could get my hand on, every magazine article I could collect. And I just started collecting and going with it from there. And I was so engrossed at age 13 that the next thing I know, I was like, by the time I was like age 15, I had already been going around the city of Dayton giving lectures on the topic. That's how much I had read on the topic and was interested now. And then just up the street, there was a local station, a TV station. I was on a couple radio shows and things like that, but I was invited on. I guess Phil Donahue was in town, and this is before he went off to become really world, you know, famous up in Chicago, but this was in Dayton where he got his start. And so I ended up going to that, and now I was on with Phil Donahue talking about it. Well, it suddenly led into my name getting out, and people around the city of Dayton wanted to call me, and I became kind of like the UFO guy. And then I was always on, you know, radio shows, TV shows, you name it, anybody wanted to be able to talk about the subject, and it just kept getting and escalating more and more to the point where everybody was calling me about anything that went bump in the night. And I thought, well, I can't deal with Bigfoot, I can't deal with ghosts, I can't deal with everything, I've got to focus on UFOs. So bottom line is that's what I did. As I got hooked into the UFO phenomenon, I said, that's all I'm going to deal with. And it goes on from there. You know, I mean, that just led into me getting in 1969. I hooked up with Mutual UFO. It was called the Midwest UFO Network at the time. And then I was the state section director for them. I ended up going on from there to leading one of their largest conferences in Dayton in 1978. And then, you know, it goes on from there, Gene. I've just been with this for now 58 years.
Just to go back a little bit in time, you concentrate on UFOs. Some people will say UFOs and Bigfoot, for example, have similar explanations, but you've never gone in that direction.
Well, when you say, well, I mean, obviously, when you say that they're similar situation, I would guess, obviously, the fact that, you know, you see something and then it kind of like disappears on you, I guess that would be the same if you saw Bigfoot and then it disappeared. Occasionally, there's some sort of like physical evidence that maybe like a footprint. I measured a footprint that was like, you know, on one case that I looked at, it was about, you know, 13 to 14 inches long, you know, and I thought, well, maybe that's a big person. But it was interesting that the footprint stopped, you know, it kind of like went to a certain distance and stopped. And I thought, well, that's rather odd. But I don't see at all a similarity in terms of UFOs with a Bigfoot sighting in the sense that, you know, we actually have sensors and measures and, you know, a lot more evidence, I guess, that supports maybe the fact that there's something there in the sky as opposed to, you know, the images that you might get on a camera or something of that nature from Bigfoot. We have now military, you know, like the Navy or the Air Force or something like that is actually tracking with multi-sensors. So it's, you don't get that with Bigfoot.
Rich, this is Kurt. So yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your current profession. Now, when people hear that you are a defense contractor, mm-hmm. they're going to say, well, tell us about your work on reverse engineering UFOs. So yeah. if that's not what you're doing, you know, what insight do you have as far as the government's working, and do you have access to any information?
So let me tell you a little story about that. You know, obviously when I was living in Dayton, you know, Project Blue Book and all that foreign technology division and everything that I studied back then was under the Air Force Materiel Command, right? So, I mean, I never got engaged with, I mean, I actually did, I got engaged with some of the Blue Book people because I'd be looking at, you know, and doing it the same case that they were. And then I made connections with people at the base. But again, they were under the Air Force Materiel Command. When I was living in the D.C. area, and of course I needed to be able to keep a, you know, a career of some sort, I'd already been in the IT world. And on this one corporation that I was working with, they had a contract for the Army Materiel Command. And that was the headquarters. It's a 4-star command. And I thought, well, I could go in, and they wanted me to basically teach them, it shows you my age, this is me teaching them Windows, the very first iteration of Windows.
And we don't want to talk about the very first iteration of Windows because I can give you all sorts of stories. Because I always regarded Windows as barely usable until Windows 95. But why are we talking about this? We're looking at the background of Rich Hoffman, our special guest this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our guest co-host is the one and only Kurt Collins. You're in the Paracast. Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We pick up with Rich Hoffman telling people about the first iteration of Windows. This has got to be around 1990 or thereabouts. And there's, of course, we know the big story there where Apple licensed certain technology to Bill Gates, and he used that and turned it around and used that as part of what he built into Windows. You with me so far, Rich?
Yeah. And so for me, this was in 1995. By the way, the Army and everything else in the DoD was very much behind the power curve in terms of getting into that kind of technology and making those advances. So in 1995, I was actually teaching the Windows 3.1.1, and then we ended up going to Windows 95. But now it placed me in this Army material command, you know, and then over a period of years, I've always been in their IT world. I did everything from, the bottom line is like Y2K, you know, you needed to check everything to make sure that the clocks are going to roll over. I was involved in that heavily. I was involved in putting together a thing called knowledge management, which is basically saying that, hey, look, you know, gee, if we had had the book or the records for the building of the pyramids, wouldn't it be nice to be able to have that because we lost that knowledge? Well, in the IT world, we are notorious for somebody who has been sitting in the same seat with their computer for 40 years or something of that nature, and many of them have poured their brains out all over that computer. And then the IT process is we come in and we actually wipe out the entire hard drive and give it to the new person sitting in his seat. And now that person's lost all the knowledge from the previous person in the seat. So bottom line is I've done that kind of thing. I'm also in charge of data center consolidation. That's one effort that I do. I'm also the spectrum manager right now for AMC, helping them out with the spectrum and knowing that they don't have like signals tromping on each other. I'm not in the weapons world at all, so I'm not out there reverse engineering any kind of like craft. I do have access to classified systems. I've got basically an unclassified and a classified system on my desktop at work. I can go into both, and I do routinely. But, you know, I mean, it's been interesting for me that, you know, it's been about, what, 27 years now, I guess, or something like that.
You know, when you mention Windows 95, just very briefly, anecdote. So Microsoft licenses the rights to the Rolling Stones song, Start Me Up. And I think because the lyrics at the beginning are, if you start me up, if you start me up, I'll never stop. You forget, however, the third verse of the song, Windows 95, right? You make a grown man cry. said three times, you make a grown man cry. And I thought about Windows 95. I don't think of if you start me up, I'll never stop. I think of you make a grown man cry. And I can't believe that they didn't read the lyrics of that song before they bought their rights to it, which had to cost them millions of dollars.
Yeah. So to Kirk, I would say that, you know, I'm kind of like an embedded ufologist. In fact, jokingly, they call me the command ufologist, you know, because they just know that I'm in it. And everybody on Redstone Arsenal pretty much, you know, knows me to be the Redstone UFO guy. And I've been at this for a long time. I'm pretty open about things like that. I don't certainly talk about classified stuff. I honor my job and the people that work there. I think we're doing all good stuff. And, you know, I pretty much am okay with all that. And I'm not a conspiratorialist. I tend to be more towards a science bent. And that's where pretty much I am.
So yeah. One of the things with the UAP task force or whatever they're calling it this week, they say is the purpose is to reduce the stigma that surrounds the topic. So, mm-hmm. You know, apparently the people that you've worked with have long been aware. Well, how do they perceive your interest then and now?
Well, I think it's really a dramatic shift for me to be where I'm at, especially over the period of time that I've been there. I think, you know, when I first... You know, I've pretty much I've always been open about the fact that I've been in the UFO thing, but I rarely got people that would, you know, want to engage me in the topic or, you know, and that type of thing in the hallways. You know, but now with the dramatic shift that I've seen, of course, in my lifetime and watching even with Blue Book and then how that when that closed, you know, in 1969, it seemed like, you know, the whole notion of science was basically just shut down and you weren't allowed to talk about it. And then it went into the context of, you know, the 70s and stuff like that, where you had, you know, the weekly tabloids that were showing, like, you know, Hillary Clinton or somebody holding an alien baby, and it became a joke. And
Wait a minute. You mean she didn't hold an alien baby?
Well, no, she didn't. See, that's where, Gene, I'm trying to help you out, because that was all just, you know, just bogus stuff.
But you know what's funny is that Hillary Clinton is interested in UFOs or UAPs.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and so you've had, you know, more of an interest here since probably about the Clintons' time period, at least anyway, onward, in to some degree, in the UFO phenomena. And but, you know, it's even more so and pronounced now with the concept of the 2017 announcement that the Pentagon had a secret program and had these videos that they got released and stuff like that. And then were able to make it a little bit more serious that there really was something going on, because when we basically had Blue Book closing and the National Security, Academy of Sciences basically said, you know, it's not worth studying anymore. Don't submit papers. You know, shut up. You know, basically there's nothing to it. And we agree with the study that came out of Condon. Then you ultimately had, you know, the doors closed. And so scientists went into the background. You had the Vallée book, you know, the Invisible College. You had all the work that Hynek was trying to do to build it and get it scientifically handled was put into, you know, the closet, so to speak. And so now what you happen and what I'm seeing now is there's open dialogue that's going on. We had literally at the conference we just got finished having, we ended up having people from the Space Command that were in key position, leadership positions. And we had a whole host of other, you know, people from the base that were attending and other, you know, parts of the military as well as the government that showed up. And so I'm thrilled, you know, I'm trying to carry on where Hynek couldn't go and Vallée to make this the visible college, by the way.
This sounds, I don't know that this is unprecedented, but it's remarkable that this is in the open. So this is your third conference. This first was live, the second virtual, and this is what may be a hybrid.
Yeah.
But so back to business. So that's great. Well, so tell, I understand that there were some former people. The person I wanted to ask you about was Jay Stratton. Can you tell us anything about him? And anything he might have told you about what he did while he was working for the, apparently he worked for ATIP.
Before we do that, let's do our break. We have Rich Hoffman with the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. And Kurt Collins, our guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Firefighters in Philadelphia mourning the loss of one of their own. Deputy Fire Commissioner Craig Murphy says the fallen firefighter is 51-year-old Sylvester Williamson, a 27-year veteran of the department.
This was just a catastrophic accident that really that really hurt our department, and I know this member well, and hurt the fire service as a whole.
The blaze broke out early Saturday morning at a three-story building that housed a pizza shop and apartments. The building collapsed shortly after the fire was put out. Four firefighters in total and an inspector with the city's Department of Licenses and Inspections were trapped at the time of the collapse. One firefighter remains hospitalized. Williamson was pronounced dead at the scene. He leaves behind a mother and his son. This is USA Radio News. The Supreme Court in Iowa ruled Friday that abortion is not a guaranteed right under that state's constitution, reversing a ruling the court made just 4 years ago. The decision stemmed from a lawsuit filed by abortion providers who challenged a 2020 law requiring a 24-hour waiting period before a woman could get an abortion. The court ruling comes as there is speculation that the U.S. Supreme Court will overturn the Roe v. Wade decision as soon as this coming week. The youngest among us could get their COVID-19 vaccines as soon as next week. The CDC gave their approval for the Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for children as young as 6 months old. That makes at least 18 million children eligible for the inoculations. The CDC approval on Saturday followed the sign-off from the FDA that occurred on Friday. Wall Street ended Friday with its worst week since the COVID crash in 2020. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. And here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCN Tax Cut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so Kurt asked you a question, Rich. Why don't you answer that first?
Yeah, so obviously Jay was one of the people that attended the conference. You also had people like Travis Taylor, and you had Gary Nolan and a whole host of other people that were there. But, I mean, Jay was there. It was my opportunity to meet him. I was very pleased to meet him, and we had a very cordial conversation, and we still are engaging each other. Jay was very instrumental in trying to get ATIP and those programs built. He shared with me that he had a lot of like pushback and stuff like that from a lot of different players about doing what he was trying to do. And he's now working over a company called Radiance and stuff like that. And again, he's here trying to be able to help get this whole thing scientifically moving in the right direction. So he's very much engaged. I look forward to working with him in the future. He is local to me, so I'll be able to probably get together with him a little bit more often. We've got people like Eric Davis. We've got people like, of course, a whole host of other people that are now here. And I don't know if you know it, but, you even have Sean Kirkpatrick, who was announced as being the lead for the, I guess it's the AOI-MSG organization. And God, I hope that they change that name. But anyway, he's here. He came out of MISIC, which is over here at Redstone. And then we have the whole, movement of the Space Command to Huntsville. And of course, it's being fought by the people up in Colorado. But anyway, we're still anticipating that that's going to happen. And so Huntsville itself is becoming one of the hot spots for, I guess you might say UFO kinds of, investigations. So we're excited about it.
Tell us about the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies, the SCU. How did that get organized?
Well, actually, that happened when we were still apart. We were there were five of us that were a part of that back in 2013. We were with MUFON. We were all like MUFON people. And there was a case that basically, our video that was, we were told that existed from a friend of Morgan Bell in Florida. He was a state director there. I was a state director up here for Alabama and I believe Mississippi at the same time. Anyway, the gist of it was that this video was this Aguadilla case that we got was passed to us, this video. And we pulled together a team. We also had to sign, in order to get the video, we had to sign non-disclosure agreements, which then, basically kept us from even talking about it with MUFON, the fact that we got this video. And yet all of us are MUFON. So it was kind of an awkward situation. But the person wanted it to be like looked at more like scientifically. They had already made attempts to be able to take it up through their chain and Department of Homeland Security, as well as they also made an attempt to try to get it up to the Air Force. And no, there was no interest in it. And so they're, again, trying to see if they could get it analyzed and figure out what the heck it was. Well, the five of us got together, and then over a period of time, we all handled different tasks. Some took certain sections of the document. But we all attempted to try to, take and analyze this seriously and see if it really meant anything or not. We literally broke it apart into, 7,027 frames. We tried to go pixel by pixel. We had to rule out things like parallax, and we had to rule out, a whole bunch of other things when we tried to look at the video. We tried to get a temperature read, and when you look at the, it was a Westcam. We identified that the camera was a Westcam camera, and we got a hold of people that we could help us understand the temperature of that. We were able to break the black to white, if you would. It was black hot for the camera setting of the thermal camera. And then we were able to look at it in the context of maybe potential temperatures by the color of whether it was a certain kind of like, gray or dark color. And so we started analyzing it. And at one point we, as you're watching the video, you see the object coming apparently from the water. There was a light on it. And it was coming in from the water. And the concern was that the object was directly up where they took off, and they thought that they were cleared for takeoff and they were going to head over toward where this object was. And the control tower apparently didn't understand or know what the heck was going on either. And they saw this light coming in from whatever this was. And so they basically had them coordinate going around. So they went around, made a huge loop, came back around. And by the time that they almost did a complete circle, the light went out. And now they were in the dark because it was 9 o'clock in the evening. And, so they basically notified them to turn on the thermal camera that they had on board and began recording a 3-minute and 54-second video. And in the course of the video, you see an object which appears as though it's moving around an airport runway. There was a FedEx plane that was being held up that was sitting over on the runway because apparently whatever this thing was, they told them to hold off. And the object then came looping around, and at one point it goes behind a telephone pole, and you wouldn't know that if you didn't do the pixel analysis that we did. And then if you see that it's going through it, you can start to see, the distance that it would be at that point would be that it's about 3 foot in diameter, 3 to 5 foot in diameter. And then at one point it looks like it goes into the water, and you can see looks like it's going underneath the water. And then you see it kind of come out and get really, really dark, and then it splits into two objects. And so when you see that video, we all became like, well, that's probably the most compelling whatever you'd ever seen, the video. And we don't know what it is, Certainly we, tried to figure out, well, is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? and we looked at actually examples of that in thermal. We had the same Westcam camera, We had an individual that could actually show what birds look like, what balloons look like, and it was not a match for it. And so we were left with, you know, like, well, what could it be? You know, we checked into a Navy flimmer that was existed where it could have gone into the water, but it normally doesn't come out of the water. It might have been in the air at one point, and then it goes into the water. It's like a torpedo. So we struggled with being able to identify anything at all like that. We also had, like, you know, radar just prior to it in the direction of where the object was, that we had, like, 50 hits of the radar just prior to that. And so we're like, okay, well, is it the same object? We don't know. Could it be? Yes, it could be. And we've kind of put that together in our report and came out with that. And then we caught, you know, when we published it. And, oh, by the way, we also sent it over to Japan, to Sigma 2, to have them see if they would do a kind of like a peer review. And we also went to another number of organizations in the United States to see if they would do it. Well, nobody was willing to do it. But anyway, bottom line is Japan came back and said that, well, we do agree with your flight path. We agree with the analysis that we did. And so that was kind of like a peer review in some regard. And so then we published our paper. And then, you know, then MUFON got upset with us, called us on the table, and we explained the whole situation. And that's the story. And so we've now decided that we were going to break away from MUFON and form a scientific organization in 2017 after MUFON started wanting to hold conferences on secret spaceship programs.
I want to ask you first about MUFON. Why were they so bent out of shape about your work?
Well, I mean, first off, you know, you got five people in MUFON that are not telling them a story, right? it was passed to five MUFON members, right? So that would be a little upsetting. Like, why didn't, you know, they get it, or why didn't we do it to them? And so they weren't aware of the fact that we had signed NDAs. We explained it to them, and you know, and for the most part, that they were okay about it. Obviously, the international director, who is the current national director, was a little bit irritated because it happened in Puerto Rico.
Let's go on with more stuff here with Rich and Gene and Kurt. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Forgive me if I'm asking Rich Hoffman, talking about MUFON, why would Puerto Rico be a problem?
First off, you know, none of us had jurisdiction. And the way MUFON works, it's like in a based on a state. So, like, you know, if you're the Alabama, you can't go into Tennessee. If you're Mississippi, you can't go into Louisiana. So it's kind of a crazy notion. But anyway, we're not supposed to handle, you know, on the national side, international cases. Well, just to let you know, what I did is I actually went and looked in their CMS database, and I found out where somebody had reported, and it could have been one of the other pilot, or not the flight crew or somebody, actually reported it to MUFON, but they never assigned it to anybody. So that was an embarrassing moment for them, but they didn't assign in that same case to anybody to investigate after we had already spent 2 years on it. Again, a little bit of an embarrassment at the same time, you know, the fact that we were all MUFON members, that we were publishing a paper that was in, it's completely within an understanding of why they would have been upset. But we were able to somewhat calm them down, although I will say this much, there are people that are in leadership positions that have a lot of anger at SCU because we went ahead and formed our own organization.
And we forget here, or a lot of us do, that the Mutual UFO Network, then Midwest UFO Network, was formed by people who were with APRO and yes, split from them. So in a sense, you split from MUFON. They split from APRO. Do we see a difference?
Well, let me also clarify that I'm a lifetime member of MUFON, so I'm a benefactor. So I'm not exactly out of MUFON. In fact, I keep giving UFO lectures and things like that to some of their local chapters. I will also point out to you that none of us had an issue with MUFON. The MUFON has an issue with us, apparently, and some members. I'm not going to characterize all of them. Okay, but I'm just saying that there are a few of them that are very angry yet with us and me, you know, and yet I've been, you know, with them for a long, long time. And I do support what they're doing. I think that it's valuable. And what we're doing is holistically different and could augment them, but they don't want to choose to do that.
Expand on those differences, though. I mean, you're not a UFO fan club. So what is SCU? You told us how it started, but what is what are the goals and you know, what's the mission going forwards?
Let me put it to you this way. MUFON will take a case. They'll assign an investigator. The investigator typically has like 90 days to be able to come up with some sort of a report and make a declaration of what the object is that they investigated. Okay? And then it sits in a database. Nobody's at that. I mean, it was happening with when we were in it. We had a group of scientists that would look at cases on a monthly basis. I would investigate or look at the top cases I could find each month that was as they were reported. And we would then take that to a group of scientists who would basically look at the case and see if we could get greater detail on it. And so there you're starting to do something with it scientifically with the data you collected, right? And that's kind of like where we were with it. What's happened now is that most of the scientists, at least I'm not saying now, I mean at the time in 2017, when they did the secret spaceship program, they were all walking out the door because they didn't want their credibility damaged by this stupidity. And I didn't either. And so I made a decision that I was going to retire from all my positions. That was also a number of other members in SCU decided to do the same. And what we decided to do at that point was we wanted to be able to get large, more like scientific treatment of this, you know, the cases that we can get. We wanted to be able to kind of do similar to what we did with the Aguadilla case in the context of being able to spend a long time looking at, you know, video evidence, looking at that evidence, collecting more evidence if you can get it. And we did that again with the Nimitz case, and we started to break into the Nimitz case and do the same thing. And what it is we're trying to put in a peer review process, which is not existing in the United States, and MUFON doesn't have or anybody have, where you write a report and you can actually have it go through a legitimate peer review process, and then you can have it go into some sort of a respectable journal. We're trying to get that whole process put in place to be able to, you know, have articles that we can then put in our own journal. We are writing papers right now and putting them into journals, but it's not our own journal. So the idea is you have all these people that will now take and they're from every discipline. I mean, we got a lot of PhDs. We have, you know, a good part of our population have got advanced degrees. They're in every kind of like discipline out there, everything from psychology to sociology to anthropology to computer sciences to you name it. We've got it. Okay. And so with that being the case, if you create a safe space for scientists now to engage and talk about the topic, then they'll be more willing to open up about it. And that's how we've now gone up to about 200 people that are all members of SCU. And it's about the fact that, you know, the thing that 2017 opened the doors, they can feel comfortable about it. They're looking to have other engaging conversations with other scientists. And where can I find them? And guess what? They can come to us and have that kind of conversation.
That's the one thing that bothers me about MUFON. They're busy selling memberships, busy selling conferences, busy selling this program that you become an investigator, but there's no sustained investigation of much of anything.
Precisely. It is actually kind of no different with the Air Force project. Blue Book would collect all this information, but do you have scientists that are looking at the data? Well, you can argue and say, well, yeah, they did. I mean, through Battelle. Battelle was like working on some of these things. They produced Special Report 14, you know, and a whole host of other things where they were trying to do some sort of a data analysis, if you would. But our capabilities today are not the same as they were back in that time. We've got computer capabilities now that far are in excess of that. We've got starting to use things like artificial intelligence and a whole host of other types of tools that would allow us to be able to get in. Our analytical tools have improved to the point where we can get better. We can get 3D imaging. We can do all different kinds of other kinds of modeling and simulation types of things. So we've made a quantum level advancement. And now what we're doing is trying to pull all those resources together to be able to do way more advanced study of actual hard to address data and evidence. And we'd like to be able to get that. And we're cooperating with UAPX. They're a partner of ours. So is Center for UFO Studies and a whole host of other things. And we're partnering with them to be able to now go out and collect information. And then we'll help do some of the analysis of that. And that's exactly what we're doing with UAPX right now.
What is UAPX for those who don't know?
UAPX is UAP Expeditions. There's a recent film that was released called A Tear in the Sky. It's put together by people who, a lot of them were on aboard the Nimitz. You have Gary Voorhees. You've also had Kevin Day that helped found it and put it together. And you're basically trying to take advanced technology out to hotspots and collect everything from FLIR data to acoustic data to spectral data and all that stuff that you can now bring scientists, and scientists could actually study and now get more information on.
A tear in the sky, by the way, we did feature that in our previous episode. And Gary Voorhees has been on the show a couple of times. So we had David Altman and Dave Mason on the show with that. So we did cover it, but I wanted you to define it for our listeners who don't follow all the nuts and bolts and things like that.
And I'm also a member of them. I'm a member of UAPX as well. And so, I mean, we're having now conversations where we're trying to be able to, like, work together as a team to be able to collect data that now we can give the scientists and have them look at.
Well, your name has coalition in it, and it sounds like you're really striving to do that. So that's great. And you said you've got maybe not a formal working relationship, but you know you've met and have become friends with some of the government people. So that's wonderful. As far as the government though, what's your opinion of what we can expect from their investigation and what can be shared with the public?
That's an excellent question, and one that I'm most concerned about as well. You know as well as I do, when you put things in the military world, you're dealing with, you know, classification systems, you're talking about national security implications, you're talking a whole host of things. And this is a national security concern, whether you know anybody wants to admit it or not, because guess what? The vast majority of these things are types of drones that we don't know whose they are. And drones are flying over our military ranges. They're flying over our ships. And they're incapable of, I mean, they're clearly drones. You can actually see that they're like a quadcopter. And they're using like, you know, some sort of like, maybe a gas fuel system or something of that nature that allows them to zip along.
We have Rich, we have Kurt, we have Gene. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Do you fear getting COVID? I've had COVID 4 times over 2 years now, and it is very easy to eliminate from my body. We've all heard the several nutritional and medical recommendations on how to protect from COVID. However, no one is talking about the one I've found to be the most effective. I've had 2 clients debilitated with COVID symptoms for days or months take our Green Meadow Whey protein powder and feel either 100% well or much better in the first 24 hours. That's a faster recovery than offered by any medication or other nutritional supplement. Green Meadow Whey is naturally rich in the protein called lactoferrin. Non-denatured lactoferrin is a protein that binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as defends the body against bacteria, fungi, parasites, and supports abdominal fat loss. I have found that nature always has a superior answer to any health challenge. Let Green Meadow Whey empower your body and immunity to the highest levels of health. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's BESTWHEY protein.net or call 888-988-3325.